Well, this morning for sermon, we're going through our continuing, I guess I should say, through the book of Daniel. And we're on Daniel chapter 2. And we've been looking at Daniel from at least hopefully what Daniel was trying to present, not only for his own life, but for those who would later read his book. And his idea, what he's generally getting across, is kind of summarized in a couple statements. The first is that in a world where those in charge, maybe your boss, maybe your country, maybe other people that you interact with, those people that don't know or believe in the Lord, how are we to act and respond? What are we to do? The very first point that Daniel makes right out of the gate is that God is in control. And if we forget that, if we don't understand that God is in control, we can lose our hope and our faith. If we understand that God is in control, then we can put our hope and our faith in him. The second thing that Daniel brings across as we conclude with chapter 1 is that we live kind of as dual citizens. We live in this world with all of its circumstances and difficulties and the things that go along with it. But our lives really need to be governed by a different kingdom, a different citizenship. And that is being part of God's kingdom. Today, we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 2. And in this chapter, we see that Daniel looks for openings for God to be seen. Daniel looks for openings for God to be seen. You'll see as we go through the book of Daniel that over and over, God's people get put in challenging positions. And people are put in challenging positions. And Daniel always sees this as an opportunity for God to be known and who he is to be seen. And that is true for the events of Daniel chapter 2. Chapter 2 begins with God's opening, an opportunity for God to be seen. You know, in your life, as the children were singing about and talked about this week, there are times of confusion, times of fear. There are times when life is disturbed, when all of the order and all of the attempts to control what's going on in your life get thrown out the window. Things get mixed up. In those moments, people are often searching for God's answer in their lives. This was true back in Daniel's day when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, read this way. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." The king was troubled. Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have to have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Not only was the king disturbed by his dream, but now the astrologers and the sorcerers and the greatest minds of the kingdom, they are also now troubled by the king's dream because they have found out that they must not only be able to tell what the dream meant, but they must also tell the king what the dream was. In verses 12 and 13, Daniel is finally mentioned, and they read this way. "This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued and put the wise men to death. And men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Seems like a lot of trouble over a dream, doesn't it? Didn't you have some dreams this week? Some things that came into your head while you were sleeping at night? Well, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he is correct that his dream has great significance. He was disturbed by it. The king was trying to figure it out, and once he'd had the dream and had maybe it repeatedly, he was having trouble going back to sleep. You know, you have those nights, don't you? When the stress gets bad or the things that are in your head keep rolling and you have trouble getting to sleep. The king was disturbed. But the wise men were disturbed too. The astrologers, the soothsayers, those wise men of Babylon, they were disturbed because they were being put to the test. You see, the king had a plan to figure out whether the interpretation was real. You know, whenever you think about your dreams and all of the options of what they might mean, usually nothing other than maybe you had a bad meal or worried or stressed about something, but your dreams can think about all kinds of things. When someone tells you the meaning of an event, it's really hard to check whether what they're saying is real and true. And so the king was putting them to the test to see if they would know what was unknowable. He never told them what was in his dream. He never mentioned to them what images he saw. And as a result, he was testing whether they could know the unknowable. For if they could know the unknowable, if they could know what only he knew and had not shared, then their interpretation would more likely be reliable and true. And so they were being tested. If the wise men guessed as to what the dream was about, and they got it wrong, if they said it was about something entirely different than anything he had actually dreamed, they would be shown to be frauds. And so they were disturbed because they knew they had not gotten an answer. They did not have a way of telling the king what his dream was about. They were disturbed because their death was imminent. Based on the chronology of Daniel's first chapter and this one together, Daniel is not yet a full wise man. He's still in training. He's still a student. He is a teenager. And the king's men are sent to execute him along with all of the others. And so Daniel, being one of the godly men, he too is disturbed. I use that term a little loosely with Daniel. For Daniel saw this as an opportunity for urgency. Urgency in his actions. He asked to go before the king and to ask for just a little more time. And after he prayed during the night, God revealed to him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and also its interpretation. Daniel found an opening for God to be seen and heard. One thing that happens in this life is that troubles come and disruptions occur. And it's often in these moments of crisis and difficulty that people begin to search for a better answer than what they currently have. These difficulties are often openings in people's lives for them to draw closer to God and to his truth. It is frustrating, I think, just on a pastoral level, but I think also just in life as well for just anybody, that it takes a crisis sometimes for people to look for God's word and his answers and his truth. Sometimes people have to be going through a divorce before they're willing and ready to look for God's direction. Sometimes people have to have some sort of other crisis of health in their life before they start to turn their lives over to God. To be honest, when life is smooth and life is going easy, very few people actually think about God at all. They're thankful for their circumstances and the things that they have, the health they enjoy, and the stuff going on. And so as a result, they think so little of what God, that he exists and what he might be up to. For whatever reason, God has put into motion and in the hearts of man that we should look and turn to him when crisis occurs. When we realize that we are not smart enough, we are not powerful enough, we are not able to change whatever circumstance we have going on. This past week in VBS, at the closing assemblies that Rhonda was leading, there were a couple of things that happened. One was Rhonda did a trick every time. Monday, I had water over the top of my head. Just a little got on me. It was really good. It could have been a bath, but Rhonda had it perfectly worked out, so I just got some drips. Another day, Rhonda was knocking eggs over. You should have been here for that one. But they also showed some videos. And the one, I think it must have been on Wednesday, was the one that really caught my ear. The theme for VBS this week was about kind of an Alaska theme. And one of the biggest animals up there in that northern area are bears. Bears get to be 1,000, 1,500 pounds, gigantic monsters. And in the video, you got somebody narrating and talking as if they're the bear. And the bear was talking about how when he started out as a cub, he was smaller than a human baby and didn't have any teeth. And he was weak and unable to handle anything, any predator, any difficulty that would come his little way. The analogy for the kids was real, that they're small and they're weak and they can't handle a lot of the difficulties that come into their lives. And as a result, they need to turn to God to get through and take care of and have someone that they can lean on. But the reality is that that doesn't change when we get big. Our problems get bigger. Our worries get larger. But God's still all-powerful. God is still able to do the things that we cannot. And just because we're grown and just because we're now big does not mean that God has lost his place in our lives. And so it's in these moments and in these openings that God talks, that God reaches down into the life of Daniel and can reach down into our lives and start to impact who we are and what we're doing. God talks. And it's in this point when Daniel is threatened with death that God reveals the mystery of Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel. God reveals what's been going on, hidden from all other men. And so Daniel, the next day, goes before the king. And he goes and talks to the king about the God that he worships. Not the God of those other wise men, those other astrologers, those others who didn't have the answer. Daniel goes and talks to the king about his God, the God who is over all gods, the God who is above and everything and created all things, who knows everything past and present and future, who knows what is unspoken and what is thought in our minds. He knows all that is and will be. Daniel tells the king about his God. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar had to do with his own kingdom and many kingdoms that would follow. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of a statue with multiple parts, and each part representing a different kingdom, the first beginning with his own, and following all the way down to that of the Roman Empire. These kingdoms of the earth were made of different substances, but together they formed a single statue. And then in the time of those final kings, those kings and emperors of Rome, a new kingdom shows up. A new kingdom begins. It is a kingdom not made with human hands, not made by a human being, but formed by God. And this kingdom smashes, destroys, shakes all the man-made kingdoms of the earth. The kingdoms of heaven, the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdoms of earth. This was given to Nebuchadnezzar that he might be able to tell the world what was coming in the future. That through him, people would recognize and understand that God was going to set up his own kingdom upon the earth. And it even gives a little timeline so that people would know when to look for it. But the most important part of this conversation has to be in verse 45. Daniel chapter 2, verse 45, the second half of that verse reads this way. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Notice those true and trustworthy words. They're essential for us to understand. The king was looking for a true and trustworthy understanding of his dream, and he tested Daniel and all of these others to the greatest extent possible. The point of this verse and the point of this narration and events is that God's nature is shining through. The God that we worship, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is the God who knows. He understands all that is going on, hidden and revealed. And he is the revealer of things hidden. He is the giver of true truth. The truth by which we might live our lives and be certain of what God is doing. Because all of us are searching for something that is solid and true and that we can build our lives upon. So that in the midst of all of the shakenness of our lives, when things of difficulty come, whenever it's sickness or marital or difficult in relationships, whenever it is something that comes into our lives that shakes them, we want something true, we want something real, we want something trustworthy on which we might build our lives. In Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it is clear that even the greatest kingdoms on earth will be shaken. They will come to an end. But there is a kingdom on which we might build our lives. A kingdom that will last for all eternity more. So that as we choose which kingdom we wish to be citizens of, we can choose the one that will last forever. Which values will never go away. Which truth and king will never be eliminated. God is the giver of true truth on which we might found our lives and build them on solid rock. God's nature is such that he even determines the future. He knows the past, he knows the present, but he also can make the future as he wishes it to be. God uses openings in people's lives when things are rough and things are uncertain. He uses those openings so that he might put feet on solid ground, that we might build our lives in a faith in a God that does not change and will not go away. And so we end this little bit of Daniel chapter 2 with the saving of souls. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, says, and recorded here in verses 46 and 47, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery.'" The king makes a tremendous point that God, the God of Daniel, stands head and shoulders above any other false religion worshipped. That those magicians and those astrologers who looked at the stars, that what they were trying to follow was nothing in comparison to Daniel's God. What we see going on here is something we see revealed through Old and New Testament. And that is that God is trying to communicate to those who are far away. And sometimes he will go to extraordinary lengths to communicate what he wants to say. But the most important aspect that I hope you remember today is that what Daniel was telling the king about was the coming of Jesus. You see, those kingdoms knocked down and fallen apart. They were knocked down and fell apart to make way for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The timing of this prophecy from Daniel, this dream of Nebuchadnezzar, was that people would understand that God's kingdom would be established during the reign of the Roman Empire. You see, Jesus came to give true truth in the midst of a disturbed life. Jesus often says, "Truly, truly, I tell you." The point of his words is to remind us that what he is teaching is a solid foundation. It is true truth, that which will never change and that we can rely on, build our lives upon. So that when the wind and the waves come, when difficulties arise, when things happen in our life, if we will plant our feet firmly on Jesus Christ, if we will put our faith and trust in him, that we will find that though the world be shaken, though things be going wrong all around, that our souls, that our lives have found something solid on which they might stand. When we find ourselves in the kingdom of God, which is an eternal kingdom that shall never be shaken, we find that we have come to the right place. The place where even death cannot shake us. You see, kingdoms and nations, they will fall. But the kingdom of Christ gives us eternal security, eternal strength, an eternal home. And when we turn our lives over to the one and only Son of God, we have found our resting place. Struggles and difficulties are openings so that God might help us to stand firmly on his true truth and come to know his one and only Son. God's word is clear and definite. And Daniel is providing for us a way to understand how we can live our lives in the world today. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you sent your Son that he might be our Lord and King, and that we might be part of his kingdom. Lord, we pray also that when our world seems rocked and things seem uncertain, that we will find our faith in you and in your Son growing deeper and deeper. We pray, Lord, that when we see our friends or our neighbors or our family members caught up in a whirlwind of difficulty, that we might help them to see you in the midst of it. Lord, we pray that we will see openings as Daniel did. Openings to speak of the God who gives an eternal kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you grace us, that you have mercy on us, and that you bestow on us something we did not deserve, eternal life by believing in your one and only Son. Lord, today as we thank you and we praise you, we turn our hearts to you. And in his wonderful name we pray. Amen.